It's time to get your goalkeeping groove on with the ultimate at-home goalkeeping workout. Want to top up on your training? Join ex-Premier League stopper Richard Lee from the comfort of your own home. For 30 minutes, three times per week, Rich will take to Instagram Live and run viewers through an easy-to-follow training routine developed from his years of professional experience working with first-class goalkeepers and goalkeeping coaches. Work on and improve speed, strength, technique, and many other aspects of your game while engaging the core muscle groups and athletic ability required to be a top goalkeeper.
Just there, nice and simple. Just right hand to left hand, get the ball moving, get a little bit higher. Good, right into some, straight into some goalkeeping core. So ball out in front, nice squat down and up.
All you need is a few essential household items, a good Wi-Fi connection, and a small space at home. With a weekly mindset session and goalkeeper quiz to boot, consider this your one-stop shop for goalkeeping growth. Join the Joe Wicks of goalkeeping today on a free one-week trial with no obligation to continue. Visit goalkeepersunion.net/workout for more details.
You've been brilliant. You always are. Well done. Great attitude. I'll see you shortly. Take care.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the keynote speaking voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Hello there, Matthew. Keynote speaking indeed.
So this is on, what day is it? We've got it, is it on Monday? The Surrey FA have invited you to basically, I mean, I said keynote speaking. You used to do that, to be fair, at universities, etc. This isn't particularly that, but it is a webinar where you will be speaking to some students, I'm presuming. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of students, coaches. I think the FA, the local FA, do things like this from time to time, just as a way in which they can share information. And yeah, they've asked if I'll jump on a webinar, and why not, Matthew? We can spread more good news about goalkeeping.
Yeah, they've said on their Twitter, Richard's wealth of experience in business, media and sport will offer a fascinating insight into life after football. There you go.
There you go. It's like over promise, under deliver. I think that's cool, Matthew.
If anybody wants to check that one out, at Surrey FA on Twitter. So you can see Richard, I'll imagine it's going to be on Zoom so they can actually see you.
I believe so. Yeah, I haven't been given many details, but I will be ready.
Good stuff. Look forward to it. Okay, we'll get into this one now. It's going to be another quick one because they are coming thick and fast, of course. Not many to go, although we have got FA Cup, we have got Champions League as well, and Europa League to consider. So these will continue into August. But let's get on to another brilliant save from Emi Martinez, right at the death in Arsenal's win over Liverpool a few nights ago. Blew up on social media, as you would expect, both from the fact that it was a phenomenal save and the fact that it wasn't really referenced in commentary. I can partly accept it. This time, Liverpool were throwing everything at Arsenal. It was right at the death. On initial inspection, I thought it hit the post. Had to rewind it a few times and then discovered that it was a brilliant fingertip save. It was a deflected shot from Trent Alexander-Arnold. Great save from Martinez. He just keeps getting better.
Yeah, well, I think you took a picture, didn't you, for Twitter? And it's a fantastic picture where you could see the moment that his palm has touched the glove and just how explosive he was in that movement. And this is, I suppose, something we don't talk about too often in terms of the technique when you are going all out. And it's something where, you know, we talk about the quick feet, getting the quick step in, exploding into the dive. The actual technique, the way in which you stretch your body, you elongate your body, and he's gone lower hand, effectively, it would be, which was the right decision. And he's got absolutely every inch that he possibly can. This is for a keeper, for me. This is one where you talk about the years and years of training, you talk about all that work you do in the gym that you don't know if it's ever necessarily going to have an impact, all those squats that you do, all the plyometric work that you'll do, and it's for moments like that. That for me, and I buzz, but even now I've got hair standing on end thinking about it, that for me is 20, 25 years of incredibly hard graft that he's put in to get that extra inch, that extra couple of inches, which in the end is the reason they got the extra couple of points.
I will just read out the commentary. It was Alan Smith. Another tricky one for Martinez. The deflected shot from Alexander Arnold. Bit of spin on it. Might have been fine in the corner.
Brilliant. So there you go. It's slightly different. I'm talking about 20 years worth of him being in the gym, doing all his work, making it so he can just get an extra inch. Whereas on the commentary, he just gets a whole tricky one. Tough one that to deal with. Yeah, it was. It was a tough one. There's not many people in the world that can do that.
So on that note, and we've spoken about this in previous podcasts, but I do want to touch on it now because it's actually really starting to gain a bit of momentum now. Emi Martinez is Arsenal's number one. A lot of the reaction on Twitter, especially from the tweet that we put out and elsewhere, Arsenal fans everywhere saying, do you know what? He is better than Bernd Leno. Now, we don't know that yet. I don't think I'm going to read out some stats in a minute. But what I'd like to know, Rich, is he's 27 now, right? He's been at Arsenal since 2010. We know that he's had to wait his chance to make it or be given a shot as a number one. Had it not been for Bernd Leno's injury, he would not have had this shot. Let's not beat around the bush. He spent some time on loan at Reading last season and they spoke very highly of him. But Reading are a championship side. He's shown, and maybe it's just because he's on this initial wave at the moment, I don't know. But he is showing right now in the select few games he's played for Arsenal so far that he could well be a Premier League number one. So how has it taken so long? We're talking 10 years since he first signed for Arsenal as a youth team goalkeeper. How has it taken so long?
It's insane, isn't it? It is insane. And this is where I have these conversations daily, in that to show that kind of patience, for one, is very, very difficult. And yeah, he's had his loan moves and what have you. But I get asked this a lot from younger goalkeepers, where you get to a point and you get frustrated. Now, my advice as a rule of thumb is stay as high as you can, as long as you can. Now, again, this depends on, it depends on the individual. Because look, by the way, there's some keepers out there that just want to play football. They want to play 600 games. Well, if you're an Emi Martinez 5 years ago, you need to move on then, because you're not going to get your 500 games under your belt. However, if you do break in at some point, then you're going to be playing games at the highest level. You're where you would move to if you were going down a level. It's the club that you would look to move to. So what Emi Martinez has done, I do not blame him at all. I think he's waited and waited and waited. He's continued to improve. He's continued to have the odd loan move. And now that the chance has come, all that's effectively happened is he's been able to show what he's had for the last 10 years. And this is it. With so many goalkeepers in the Premier League at the top clubs, it's chicken and egg. There's this perception that you need to go and spend 30 million on a goalkeeper. You don't. The difference is between a lot of these goalkeepers that are reserve goalkeepers and the ones that are playing are quite simply that they are in the limelight. They're in the spotlight and we're seeing them week in, week out. So no, look, I think for Martinez, it's an interesting one now. Like, the other part to this is that you always have the initial reaction. So when someone comes in like this and there's very little expected of Martinez, he's going to be on the front foot. So I would say that, but that's not taking anything away from him. It's just the way that we are generally as human beings. We initially go a little bit overboard. Oh my God, he's this. And you build him up to then eventually knock him down. It's the media have done it for years and years. So he is riding the crest of a wave at the moment. Do I think that he should be ahead of Leno at the moment? Probably not just yet. But as I mentioned before, what he's done is he's built his stock to a point where he is now a genuine challenger, a genuine contender for that shirt. And he's on the map. That's the term I'd use. He's on the map. Because the difficulty is, let's say he had gone to Reading on a permanent, it's so hard to get the coverage that you get as Arsenal number one. So he could be doing this for Reading right now. And yeah, me and you are touch on it because we do Between the Sticks. But most people don't notice that. What he's doing right now is on the world's biggest stage. And he has hugely, in the last few weeks, he's gone from being somebody that most people didn't know to somebody that most people are now talking about.
So I'll give you some stats. Now, these are hard to compare between Martinez and Leno because Leno has played a significant more amount of games, of course. But with Leno in goal, the XG, I'm going to give you a bit of XG and save percentage, mate. Okay, so there we go. Stepping things up on Between the Sticks. From the XG from the shots on target against Arsenal this season, it's 46.3. This is with Leno in goal. In those games, Arsenal conceded just 39 goals. So not a bad record from Leno. In the games that Martinez has played, for Arsenal. It's 9.5, the XG, and he's conceded just 6. So, I mean, it's hard to compare those two, but it's quite interesting. I guess they're kind of similar in a way, but when you look at the save percentage of number twos, backup goalkeepers this season, Martinez is way ahead when you compare him to a Gazzaniga, an Adrian, a Caballero, and a Claudio Bravo. So he's way ahead of the save percentage with those guys.
Yeah, look, it's impressive. Again, it's very early. It only takes them to go and lose the next game 4-0, and they have 4 shots, and all of a sudden, we're now looking at this completely differently. So look, I think we need to be a bit careful because it's still so early. And this is why I give an example from my own career. When I first broke in, and you kind of felt like you could do nothing wrong. You know, my debut, I got man of the match. Then I had 3 clean sheets in a row. Then when I started a couple of seasons after, I played 30-odd games. First 15 games, every game, it felt like the report was about me. The manager was talking about my performance. The fans were loving it. And it then almost became a point where it just became normal. I was the number one. And suddenly I make 3 or 4 great saves, but that doesn't get mentioned. The guy who scores a winner gets mentioned. And I wasn't the talk of the town. I'm using some dreadful phrases here, by the way. I'm going to paint the town red in a minute. But look, I wasn't the
early cliche. We'll get you on commentary corner, mate, for the cliches.
Absolutely. But it funny how it just shifted without my levels of performance. And I always remember we played West Ham away, and I made half a mistake, and then suddenly it flipped, and they jumped on it. And I remember on the message boards, and I used to read the message boards back then, suddenly the negativity started to come, and all these people came out of nowhere. Oh, I knew he was no good. He's this, he's this, he's this, he's this. Then it just turned. Now, at the moment, Martinez, what I'd say, he's in that initial phase where it's new, it's exciting. No one knows who he is. Few people know who he is. So everybody's loving him. At some point, it will turn for him in the same way that all of a sudden now we're talking about him potentially being ahead of Leno. So this is where, and the stats, it's way too early. I go back to my point, and I'm going to stand by that, is that what he's done so far is effectively put himself in contention, nothing more. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, nothing more at this moment. But what it does mean is that Leno's got a serious challenger on his hands now. So if they do start with Leno next season, it will be the most minor of slips and Martinez will have his chance. And for that, huge credit. For the fact that he stayed at Arsenal now, 27, as you say, without really breaking through, I give him credit because it can go the other way. And here's another example a lot of people don't know about. Someone like a Neil Etheridge. Neil Etheridge stayed at Fulham, I want to say until he was 24, 25. A lot of people don't know that, but he was just waiting. Never got his chance. And then all of a sudden, you're dropping to the likes of a Walsall in order to get your breakthrough. And credit to Neil Etheridge in that from Walsall, he's gone to Cardiff and he did get a chance in the Premier League and he had a very, very good season. Now, of course, sat on the bench at Cardiff. But that's the other way that it can go, in that you wait, doesn't happen. And then because you haven't played that much football at the age of 27, suddenly you're dropping a lot further than you probably should drop. But by the way, it's not just Martinez. There are other goalkeepers in the Premier League who are sat on the bench that we don't know that much about. But all of a sudden, 10 games in, they might have this perceived value of £20 million, £30 million. A lot of it is just purely perception. You know, the reason that so many clubs go into the foreign market and bring in these goalkeepers for, you know, 30, 40, 50 million pounds, a lot of it is just perception. There are some fantastic goalkeepers who are sat on the bench in the Premier League.
There are indeed. And just to mention or to touch again on Etheridge there, Neil Etheridge, great podcast that we did with him. It wasn't even a case of him going straight to Walsall either. It was a case, he told us a great story about being at Oldham, wasn't it? And all of a sudden, the caretaker or the janitor, whoever it was that walked in and said, oh, you the new keeper? No, I've been here for a while. Oh, there's a new keeper coming in.
he was going back to the Philippines at one point. He was going back to the Philippines to play football over there. And now a couple of seasons later, he's playing in the Premier League. And this is where you talk about margins, you talk about luck. Now, Emi Martinez, fair to say, didn't have the luck until now. Now, this is a stroke of luck for him, bad luck for Leno, stroke of luck for him. And all of a sudden, he's taken his opportunity. He was ready to take his opportunity when it came. But this is where goalkeeping's funny. Dave Martin, you know, was at Millwall and he didn't really know where his next move was. And next thing you know, he goes to West Ham and he plays a few games, a win at Chelsea and does fantastically well. You know, Andy Lonergan, again, wasn't too sure where his next move was going to be. And you join the soon-to-be champions Liverpool. Like, I think goalkeeping is slightly different to other positions in so many different ways. And the fine line between success and failure is such a fine line. And it can change so quickly. You look at someone like a Jack Butland, incredible in the Premier League for a couple of seasons. And I know we're going to touch on this later. All of a sudden, Adam Davies has now got in at Stoke. Jack Butland might have a job to get his place back at Stoke. Things change so quickly in the world of goalkeeping, which also goes back to our conversation previously about Jordan Pickford about how, for me, he's on a bit of a knife edge at the moment. I hope he kicks on and maintains his place at Everton and England. But just be warned, like we've seen so many examples, it can change positively and negatively so quickly.
Someone it's not going to change for is Alisson. However, a rare error, similar to the rare Kasper Schmeichel error that we spoke about in the last podcast, in that game with Arsenal, just to finish on that game, the winner from Rhys Nelson came about from a bit of dodgy Alisson footwork, shall I say, Rich? I think you're probably going to disagree with me. You're going to focus on the throw that was given back to him from Andrew Robertson.
Nonsense throw. Like, you know, it is. I mean, any goalkeeper listening in, if that happened to, this is the difference though. If that happens to me, I'm booting that in row Z and I'm having a go at the person who threw it to me. Like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing it to me when I've got someone bearing down on me? I'm dealing with a bobbling ball, no one there to pass the ball back to. I know you could argue he can play it back to Robertson, which he's tried to do. I just don't know what Robertson's thinking. But right, we're not going to concentrate on that too much because we are obviously talking about the goalkeeping aspect. The bit I would say, and I think this is just because it's not part of the DNA of Liverpool, not part of Alisson's DNA, for me, that's one you just boot away. You boot away and you have a go at Robertson. The fact that Alisson is who he is, and it's why he's as good as he is. So, look, I can't talk negatively about this man because he's just incredible what he does. He's obviously tried to play it back, but yeah, ordinarily, I think most of us listening in, we've just kicked that away and we've had a go at the person throwing it to us. But Alisson, given how good he is with his feet, he's fancied himself to play it back and obviously just misconnected. And because of that, obviously it ended up being what it was, which was a shame. It was punished. He hasn't made many this season and you could argue maybe he was due one. It's just a frustrating one that it happens in such circumstances.
That's the levels though, isn't it? And that's what we spoke with Rob Green about. To be fair, really good interviews that we've done on Patreon. You should get yourself over to that goalkeepersunion.com/Patreon. Really good chat. The next one that's coming out, the third installment with Rob Green, is where he spoke about his time at Chelsea. And he was brutally honest in saying, do you know what? That time, amongst a whole load of other things that I learned from, I realised that I was never good enough to be a top six goalkeeper, which I was really surprised about. But that's why, because Alisson isn't going to launch that into the stand. Mm. And even if he does, Jurgen Klopp might say, what are you doing, for a split second? But then you're Alisson. You've been brilliant for the past two seasons, so it doesn't really matter. So in his head, he could think, we're already champions. This is actually going to be a bit of an awkward one. I'm going to launch it and it's not going to matter. But because he's got those levels in his head, he's thinking, no, I can play this back to him.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That is exactly it. I don't know. Is there a moment, though, where you have a ball like that where your mind does switch and you've kind of almost got a... Because for me, I was overly safe as a goalkeeper. I've said this before. I think when I look back, I would always choose safety first. Now, some people might say, well, that's great. You know, you're obviously not going to make too many errors. But I think goalkeeping now is not enough to just be a safe goalkeeper. Because if you are overly safe, then you're not going to allow your team to build as many attacks. You're going to face a lot more crosses, shots, etc. Because you're not keeping possession of the ball. You know, I was going long far too often and just getting it out of danger. So Alisson does that. But I just wonder whether there comes a moment where you're like, this is too dangerous. You know, he's thrown it back. Why is he throwing it back to me? And it's bouncing to me. I've got very few options on. The safe play or the correct play, you could argue at this point, is to put it into the stand. Because at least it gets rid of danger for that second. But as you said, I think when you're as confident as Alisson is as well, you believe you've got the ability to fire it back to them, even though it's a very difficult skill to do. Not a lot of outfield players would have the ability to fire it back at the pace needed with the ball bobbling like it is to get it back safely to the fullback. So, look, hindsight's a lovely thing because it went wrong. But is there a moment for top goalkeepers where they decide just to boom it? The frustrating thing, of course, for Liverpool is that they're not going to get 100 points now as well. So as much as, yeah, you look at it, and I'm sure that it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm sure those players were gutted after that the other night. I'm sure Alisson was absolutely gutted after that the other night because that's something they would have wanted to have done.
Well, he was fuming with himself, to be fair, which, and we won't dwell on this because we've already spoken about it, Jordan Pickford. But yeah, you said the difference. You couldn't imagine Alisson laughing and joking after making an error, and he was so disappointed in himself.
It's a level of excellence. And look, I've mentioned this documentary far too many times, but the Michael Jordan documentary, that for me, and I'm going to use that as a bit of a benchmark, because I just think when you are a serial winner and you hold yourself to the highest standards, it's very tough to laugh off certain mistakes. Yes, enjoy what you do. But I think when you are at that level and you are so good and you're so professional, Alisson, you know, arguably top three in the world, some having him as number one in the world, you don't accept errors like that. You know, and whether I'm blaming Robertson to an extent, but of course, Alisson could have done better. And for someone of his level, that's just not acceptable.
To finish on the Premier League, from the key action from the past couple of days, really the things that we're going to pick out, an Edison save that is one I've not seen before, I don't think, if ever. I can't remember seeing a save like this. It was a Junior Stanislas free kick. Great save, first and foremost, in City's win over Bournemouth. But he dived to his left. He palmed it onto the post. It's come back. It's then kind of hit his knuckles slash fingers, hit the post again, come back off the post. This is all in a matter of split seconds. It's come back off the post. It's hit his head. It's looped up in the air. It's whacked his shin pad. It's come back to him. He's palmed it off for a corner.
I mean, it's unique. This is where, again, with goalkeeping, and we talk about this a lot, is that you're very rarely going to face the same situation twice as a goalkeeper. You know, we talk about like typical type shots that you have to say and certain techniques that you might do over and over. But this is a great example where sometimes it's going to be something completely new and you have to be certain in uncertainty, certain in the chaos that you're facing. One thing I will just point out, and I know a couple of goalkeeper coaches watching this might also ask the same question, was the ball placement. We talk a lot about free kicks. We talk a lot about wall placement. For me, it's gone around the outside of the wall. So I would question, look, it's incredibly well delivered. The amount of curl, the amount of bend that they got on the delivery, very, very good. But then I would slightly question wall placement. However, the speed at which he gets across the goal, I often say, if you get it up, down, over the wall and you get it into the corner, you give them the goal. Well, look, that's exactly what they've done. Or they've certainly got it into the corner, maybe round the wall, but they've certainly got it into the corner. For Edison, the pace at which he's moved across the goal, the speed, the spring, the power, the firm hand that he gets, which is firm enough to get it up onto the post, it's brilliant. At that point, you're then hoping on a little bit of luck. Most of us have had that one where it hits the post, hits our head and goes in. I think most goalkeepers have faced that at some point. That could have happened here, but this is where you earn your own luck. And again, similar to the Martinez save we mentioned earlier, for him to have that athleticism, so dynamic in his movements, that's 20 years again. 20 years of hard work in the gym. That's how you make that save.
You said we were going to come on to him, and we are now. Adam Davies has replaced Jack Butland in goal for Stoke. I say replaced, Butland has been injured, so Davies has stepped in, just like Emi Martinez, who we spoke about earlier. He's had to wait patiently, signed for Stoke from Barnsley last summer. Brilliant campaign for Barnsley. Golden Gloves, shared it with James Shea. They got promoted. He moved to Stoke in the hope that he might be number one. It didn't quite work out. Butland didn't move on. Butland has now got injured. Davies has stepped in. And so far in the two games he's played, he's done pretty well.
He's done excellently well. Certain people know, but I know Adam very well. And we speak regularly. And it's been a really frustrating season for him. You know, he joined, as you say, on the back of a promotion, right in the crest of a wave. And before you know it, you find yourself not only as second choice, but as third choice because of Adam Federici there as well. So it was a really bizarre situation with Butland staying. So you have three top championship goalkeepers all at one club. So very tough situation for him initially. Got himself on the bench around January time, as you mentioned, played in the cup game. But to step in for these two games, and this is where I give him huge credit, and he knows my thoughts on this, to step into a game against Birmingham where both clubs, vital for both clubs, and to keep the clean sheet in the way he did and be so assured in everything he did. That was it for me. It wasn't the fact that he did anything extraordinary. He didn't make any fantastic saves necessarily, but his handling was spot on. His body language was strong. He just emanated confidence. And I think that then did spread throughout the team, and Stoke have looked very good. And certainly then the Bristol City game as well. Bristol City on the back of two wins to go there, get a draw in the way they did. Again, a very, very assured performance. Credit to him, because this is where we talk about when you're not in the team. Talk about Martinez, again, similarities. There are times when you're not in the team, you have to keep your head, you have to keep working hard, and you have to believe at some point that an opportunity will come, and you don't know at what point it will come. And for Adam Davies and Stoke, in such a precarious position, if Adam wasn't on it and Adam steps in and it doesn't go particularly well, all of a sudden Stoke could be looking at League One football. Now, it's not 100% guaranteed they're going to be in the Championship just yet, but they've given themselves a great chance. And for Adam to step into such a pressurised situation and to be as assured as he is, we talk about mentality, and he showed it at Barnsley last season as captain of Barnsley promotion. He's shown it again last couple of games. And it'll be a really interesting battle now between him and Jack Butland, I think.
Yeah, really assured goalkeeper. Friendly, actually, in October that's been announced between England and Wales. Be interesting to see if he manages to get an outside call-up for that one. Of course, he has already represented his country. Spoke about that in the podcast too, of course. Another podcast that you can go back into the archives and listen to In that game as well, by the way, between Stoke and Bristol City, it's worth mentioning Dan Bentley. He made a great save, header from Danny Barth. Now, this is another goalkeeper, interestingly, who lost his place to Nicky Mayempar. He then kind of got it back quite quickly because Mayempar suffered an injury. But he's come back in. And again, I spoke to a Bristol City fan the other day and he said, you know what, I really, really, really rate him. Yes, a couple of errors this season, but I mean, that's most goalkeepers, right?
Yeah, no, look, generally he's been fantastic. And a lot of people thought it was kind of harsh that he got dropped because it was the first game back after COVID, and he played the game against Blackburn, and by his own admission, he didn't have a good game. And yeah, you look at the goals and arguably at fault. But I think this is it, right? Like, to have an individual game that isn't so good when the majority of your season, you know, I don't know what the script was in terms of player of the season, but I know he was certainly in the running for it at Bristol City. So I think he would have felt very harshly done by that he was dropped. But as you mentioned, wasn't for long. Come back in, excellent. And the save he made, if you haven't seen it, do check it out. Brilliant, brilliant save. Again, look, for those who don't know too much about Dan Bentley, really dominant goalkeeper, very athletic, very powerful, and it's a fantastic save. And as you mentioned, since he's come back into the team, Bristol City on a nice run of form as well, 7 points from the last three. Credit to the manager, standing manager, caretaker manager, Dean Holden, done a very good job there. Probably just going to miss out on the playoffs, which is a shame for them. But again, another strong season.
Let's quickly talk about Middlesbrough, because Ainsley Pearce came back in for their win against Reading a couple of days ago. Neil Warnock working his classic magic to keep Middlesbrough in the Championship. But they've had a right old merry-go-round of goalkeepers this season, haven't they? You've had Darren Randolph, he moved on to West Ham, of course, in January. You had Ainsley, who was there for a period, seemingly thought that he might be the number one. And then Dejan Stojanovic has come in and played, I don't know, nearly 10 games since he's come in as well. But Stojanovic was the number one after lockdown. Warnock has come in, stuck with Stojanovic initially, but then plumped back for Ainsley Pearce again, chopping and changing all the time.
Yeah, which, look, generally, I mean, Randolph going to West Ham, it is what it is, I guess. But, I mean, generally, I've seen it in certain other teams, and there are certain managers that do like to do this. For me, I'm a bit old school. You know, I think that you kind of stick with a goalkeeper unless it's going really, really badly, just for that continuity. And certainly the relationship between the goalkeeper and the defence, I think if you've got that solid system in place, and we can talk about some of the great teams of the ages where it's a really good base to build from. And I think if you are changing too often, you're never going to have that continuity and your results will often reflect that. So I'm not a massive fan of that. However, just to touch on these goalkeepers, and to touch on Pears in particular, he's ahead of schedule for me. And I say that in the nicest possible way. I really like him. I really rate him. And I think for him to have had the breakthrough this season the way he has, and for him to have performed at the level he has, he's done himself a huge, huge favour. Because, you know, often you're seeing a lot of goalkeepers follow a similar model where they're going on loan, 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 loan before they finally get their chance in, say, the Championship or the Premier League. For him to have got his opportunity already, huge credit to him. He's shown that he's mentally very strong and he's a very, very capable goalkeeper. So, look, I think he's a name that we're going to hear a lot of over the coming years.
Okay, and just to finish on the Championship action, I want to touch on a brilliant save from Jonas Lersel, a goalkeeper we haven't spoken too much about really this season. Huddersfield brought him back on loan from Everton when they needed a goalkeeper with Kamil Grabara, the Liverpool loanee, suffering that head injury and other problems in goal. Of course, Ben Hamer was on loan at Derby County. He was almost recalled to Huddersfield but decided to stay at Derby. That's another situation we've spoken about already on the podcast and on our Instagram lives as well. But Lersel made a great save, great top hand save in a goalless draw, and it could be a vital point for them at Sheffield Wednesday.
No, it was a fantastic save, and I think that you're right, vital, especially at the moment. It's so tight down there, and again, may well just have done enough to keep themselves in the Championship for another year. The save, it's one of those, and I talk about, you deal with a lot of different things in goalkeeping. Every now and then you do get certain situations that are kind of similar. And this is one where it's that classic one where the player turns out, looks to bend it in the far corner, and you can read it. And watching Lersel, I can't help but feel that he's just read it ever so slightly, and he's managed to get himself across. Top hand save, brilliant top hand save. It's all the things we talk about in terms of technique, power, athleticism, agility, all of this coming. And it's, again, it's crucial. And it's these kind of moments as a goalkeeper. And it's why we celebrate them here on Between the Sticks, because a lot of the times those kind of things do get forgotten. But actually, it might be that point. It might be that save that makes a difference. And it's funny we talk about it with Lersel. He's had a very similar moment in the Premier League when Huddersfield stayed up in the Premier League. And talking to their goalkeeper coach, personally, privately, you know, he made that point that it's those tiny margins that can make the difference. And for a goalkeeper, that's what you live for. It is for those moments. And just touching on the Championship in general and a couple of other goalkeepers as well, because we are now coming to the closing stages. Fascinating last couple of games. Brentford, of course, on the march. David Raya, quick mention for him. The amount of clean sheets he's kept recently, gaining a lot of plaudits. And of course, they are just relentless in what they're doing. West Brom now know that they need to win their last two games. Sam Johnstone, we give a quick mention to as well, showing real bravery in the situation and playing very, very well, consistently well in what is a very tricky situation, a pressurised situation when you know you've got Brentford breathing down your legs. To keep a clean sheet against Fulham in the way he did, very good. Marek Rodak in that game as well was excellent, which we've touched on. Dylan Phillips continues to perform at such a high level as well. And Charlton, again, it's going to be a really interesting last couple of games for them. Look, as much as I love the Premier League, and I do, I have got a real connection with the Championship, maybe because I played there a lot personally, but to see how it's all playing out. And until this last round of games, the fact that no team in the Championship knew what league they would be in next season, it fascinates me. Such a tight league. And I think this next week or so is going to be very, very interesting.
To finish, Richard, we're just going to focus on this situation involving Emilio Alvarez, the now former Manchester United goalkeeper coach, and David De Gea. A rather unsavoury situation, really, this one, where Alvarez has since come out in the past week. He's spoken to Spanish publication AS and said that he believes De Gea was disloyal to him and that it wasn't Manchester United parting company with Alvarez, more so that he chose to leave. There are some quotes I'm going to give you, but first and foremost, what do you make of that? A breakdown between goalkeeper coach and player, and such a high profile incident as well that Alvarez has since come out and said, no, didn't want to work with De Gea, and that is why I left United.
Yeah, I think for me initially, my reaction would be that that sounds really personal, like that they've had a falling out on a personal level, because you mentioned he's been so critical to David De Gea over the years. It's kind of sad that it's broken down in the way that it has. So I can't help but feel that it's a personal issue that they've got.
Yeah, it appears there was some kind of breakdown in communication between the two, like you say, which is quite sad, really, considering that Alvarez was his mentor at Atletico, that he was brought back into United by Mourinho to help him rediscover that form, that he claims, Alvarez, he was pivotal in convincing De Gea United was where he needed to be when he says he knows De Gea wanted to move to Real Madrid. I don't think that's any particular secret, but the quotes are quite strong. And like I said, this is in a number of places now, so you can find them. He says, I came to United thanks to the great work of Jorge Mendes, the agent, of course, and because Mourinho wanted to sign me to help David develop and to keep him at the club. At that moment, he wanted to leave United. After almost 3 years with lots of work and meetings with United to renew him and to make him the best paid player in the world, I learned that he had renewed behind my back. Honestly, it felt like a lack of loyalty. During negotiations, he also had a falling out with the person who had carried out all the talks in order for him to be paid what he was paid. At the last minute, someone else meddled. I insisted that I didn't like that because it seemed disloyal. So we're saying lack of loyalty, disloyal. He then goes on to say, I asked David why he didn't say anything to me, and he said that he was told not to say anything to anybody. This had an impact on me. The way I understand my profession is that you can't help someone develop if you do not have total confidence with them, and that's why I decided to leave United.
Yeah, no, really interesting quote. I think, look, it just shows you it's not just, this is every form of life, right? And I guess if you've got a certain ethical code, you know, values that that are very, very important to you. And again, we haven't heard David De Gea's side of this. So, of course, you've got to be careful to maybe make a judgment based on just hearing one side of a story. But he's obviously got an ethical code. He's obviously got certain things that are very, very important to him. And I've had it myself. You know, the moment that you feel that trust has been broken or that you've been let down and it's bigger than you can deal with necessarily, sometimes it is easier just to cut ties, because if that's not going to be rebuilt, if it's damaging to the point where you know the relationship is dead, then he had to move on, from what it sounds like. So it'd be really interesting to see if David De Gea comes back to this and kind of has his say. Look, and it may be, you mentioned a little bit there, which is always very interesting, where he's told he can't say anything. And it may be that David De Gea feels hard done by in this situation, because perhaps he was put in a situation where he's had to keep his mouth shut. And in the end, it's caused carnage. And yeah, it's a shame when stuff like this happens, especially when it's somebody that's so pivotal in your development. I think back to some of the goalkeeper coaches that helped me in such a big way, the likes of Kevin Hitchcock, Alec Chamberlain, Colin Barnes, some will know, certainly in the local area. And yeah, I'd find that sad if I couldn't now pick up the phone to them and have a conversation with them because it had broken down, especially when they've played such a big part in your success.
Never a day off for De Gea. Mm-hmm. Is it always in the news, even when he's not doing anything wrong? Well, maybe he has done something wrong in this. Actually, you know, we can't make that judgment, can we? Mm-hmm. Because we don't know both sides of the story. Okay, Richard, it's been nothing but a pleasure as always. Just to finish as well, Siobhan Chamberlain, the now former Manchester United and England goalkeeper, 36 years old now. She's cancelled her contract by mutual consent at United, helped them get up into the WSL. Of course, United not long rebooting their women's side and now rapidly rising to compete for those top honours in the WSL. She's decided to cancel her contract by mutual consent. We wish her all the best in all her future endeavours in football. But Richard, that is us now down for another episode of Between the Sticks. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. We'll see you next time.